It's hard to sit there and watch that and without getting teary-eyed. I mean, I love Rick and Sue, really with all my heart. What a precious guy. Terminal cancer in the hospital, gets out on Saturday. Been by, you know, praying for him, talking to him. And I walk into the 9:30 service Sunday morning after he gets out Saturday night. He's standing in the back passing out bulletins. I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Man, I'm not going to miss this." I said, "Man, you're such a blessing to us." He said, "No, Pastor Tim, this church is such a blessing to me." And then look at his hair. I mean, he never had hair like that before he had cancer. I told him I was envious of him, but he is just a phenomenal, phenomenal guy. And I just praise God for all that God is doing in his life and how God is using him to encourage others with his love and grace. And we praise God for that. Well, I want to dive into the message. And I know I don't have a lot of time. Some of you are looking at your watches already. I can see you saying, "It is a quarter till. He preaches like 3 hours." It's 3 and a half today, just letting you know. I'm gonna cut to the chase, and we're gonna get down to the real issues today. First sermon in the series on revive. Revive us again. That's our prayer. We gave out these bracelets, these red bracelets, Psalm 85:6. You know, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" And I ask you, wear these. Somebody asked me today, "How long do we have to wear these?" And I said, "Until revival comes." So whenever you look down, just stop. If it's 30 seconds, a minute, whatever, and just pray for God to work a revival in our church and in our hearts for his glory. And then we say, well, how does that happen? How can that happen in us so we live in a perpetual state of revival? And last week we talked about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. How we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God and have our minds renewed by the working of God's word. In fact, I want us to say these two verses together, all right? So let's say them out loud together. We can put them on the screen. I appeal to you, therefore, and we're going to say them together. Out loud together, okay? Is it on the screen yet? Good. I don't know who's running the screen today. I can't see them. But, okay, I'm going rapid fire today, so you just need to really, really stay on top of it, okay? I'm not going to read this rapid fire. I just got one speed on that. It's just Southern, all right? So let's say it out loud. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed. These are our memory verses, so we got a long way to go, don't we? Let's start over on verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so 2 weeks. 2 weeks on come together with God. That lays the foundation for everything else in our life. And I want you to understand what I'm going to talk about today is not possible without the work of God. You see, unless God works in our hearts and moves in our lives, unless the gospel is driving every part of our attitude, then this third part's not going to happen, and that's reconciliation. Now, in particular, what I'm talking about is racial reconciliation. Now, when you think about that in the Scripture, we see this pattern in the great commandment, Matthew 22, when Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself." Love God first, then love one another. Challenging stuff for us, isn't it? But it's important for us to understand that's the divine order. Now, you and I all know about what the Bible says about people. No matter where you're from, what language you speak, what color your skin is, what kind of accent you have, what your history is, or what your future holds. We know this. We are all made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created them. Male and female, he created them. We are all one family, related and joined together by the blood of Jesus. Romans 12:5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. In fact, that's one of those one another passages that are found in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I love this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, what we understand is this. In Christ, while we have ethnic and racial distinctives, we first belong to and are one in Christ. And here's our verse for the day, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And what we realize because of that God desires for us to be reconciled as believers to one another in unity. John 17:21, Jesus' prayer, part of it says this, that they all may be one. That's what he's praying for. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And it's kind of like the body of Christ being one together is testimony to the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of our souls. And then that we will all live in the same eternal home. We know this in heaven by God's grace, Philippians chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that. In fact, we know there's other stories in the Bible. For example, John chapter 4. You remember when Jesus was traveling from Judea to Galilee, had to go through Samaria, stopped at the well outside the city of Sychar, encounters a woman, a Samaritan woman. He asked her for a drink. She was astounded by that because Jewish men don't have anything to do with Samaritans, particularly a Samaritan woman who'd been married 5 times. And Jesus tells her, listen, I will give you living water. If you know exactly who you're talking to, I'll give you living water and you'll never have thirst again. She's thinking in her mind, physical thirst, and she's saying, this would be great, not having to come to this well and drawing water. And you and I can identify with that, can't you? Do you remember when refrigerators did not make it a possibility where you had to actually open the door to get water? Do you remember when then they came out with that. You just mashed a button and water came out magically and ice came out. And we thought that was great. We were spending so much energy opening the door and getting out water and pouring a glass of water. And now you can just do it on the outside. Let's pay $1,000 more for this refrigerator because this is so helpful. And she's talking about walking outside of town, going to a well, having to lower down. You know she's excited about that. But what happened? Jesus wasn't talking about physical thirst. He was talking about spiritual thirst. He changed her heart and changed the whole town. Remarkable. Acts chapter 10. Peter is in Joppa. Man named Cornelius, who is a Roman and a Gentile in the city of Caesarea. God comes to him and says, listen, I want you to send two people down, or send some people down to Joppa to get a man named Simon Peter. He didn't understand what in the world the Lord was doing, but he knew God had directed him to do it, and so he sent these guys down to Joppa to get him. In the same time, Peter's on the roof, hungry, praying, and he has a vision. Multiple times, a sheet is lowered down, all kind of animals on it, says, take and eat, and he says to the Lord, I'm not going to eat that. I'm a good Jew. I don't eat anything unclean, only kosher. And the Lord tells him, don't call anything unclean that I have made clean. He didn't understand what that was all about until he got a word that there were some guys downstairs wanted to see him. Went downstairs, said, hey, our master Cornelius, the Lord spoke to him, told us to come get you, to bring you to him in the city of Caesarea. Peter follows them and goes. He's now a Jewish man in the house of Gentiles. They were God-fearers. And he proclaims the message of the gospel, and they come to saving faith in Christ. And the gospel was breaking down another barrier, Jews to Gentiles. Well, what I'm saying to you is this. This is what I want you to get. And I just did those in summary fashion because I want you to understand this. And we all know this. When God looks at people, he sees people. Yeah, we're all different, aren't we? I mean, you don't have to be of a different race to be different. This is a different bunch, isn't it? We're all different. And not taken away from that. I'm just saying when God sees people, he sees us all. We are his people. Now, the problem is, though, we don't see it that way, do we? We still have division within the body of Christ. We have division in our world. And it just seems to get worse and worse as time goes by. Even though we try, we have all kinds of conversations, all kinds of talks, all kinds of helps. Seems like the more we help, the more it hurts, and we get more divided up, isn't it? So, what I want to give you today are five things to take home with you. How can Christians be involved in race reconciliation? Honestly, biblically, okay? Now, I want you to know, I am white, okay? I grew up in the South, okay? I understand that. So I probably may say some things today, not the way they need to be said, and it would be easy to be offended by those. But know my heart in this. I just really want us to do things God's way and to live God's way when it comes to dealing with people from around the world. I mean, you think about it. In our church family, people are from 17 countries. I mean, today we just had a couple represented, but they're all over the world. That's awesome. Now, how do we live as God's people together? And I'll just tell you, I'm talking more, not about diversity here. That's easy. Yeah, it's so easy. It's easy to have diversity. I mean, we can put on some kind of show, like the Christmas Carol, and people from all over will come. It's even to be diverse in a worship service, isn't it? You don't have to love somebody to sit in a worship service like this, do you? I mean, some of you don't even know the people three rows behind you. You don't even know their name, much less love them, right? We're talking beyond diversity. We're talking about unity, true unity in the faith as a body of Christ for the glory of God, okay? So the question is, how do we get there? How do we get there? A couple of things. One, we should recognize division is our natural default. And we just need to admit some things first. Division's our natural default, isn't it? I mean, I just went down to Puerto Rico, and you know, I can understand a lot of Spanish. Yesterday, I was at Luis's dad's funeral, which was a powerful service, okay? And part of it was in Spanish. And man, I was sitting there trying to translate. I could get about half of it, and then Google Translate was helping me get the other half. And I was listening. But when I was down in Puerto Rico recently, I was in a room of church planters. Most of them speak English and Spanish. But it was interesting. All the Puerto Ricans sat at a couple of tables, and then all of us from the U.S. sat at a couple of tables. Nobody was offended by it. It just naturally happened. Because that's our natural default, isn't it? To hang out with people that are like us. It's so much easier, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, everybody take a deep breath. Okay? Everybody, just take a deep breath. Listen, I can read you. I've been pastor here a long time. I can read you like a book. I talk about money. Your kids are race relations, and you get stiff, okay? So just take a deep breath and relax. We just want to do it God's way, right? So we got to admit some things about ourselves. And I know that's true. We all know it's true. That's why I didn't use the term prejudice, because if I were to say we need to deal with the prejudice in our own heart, half of you would say, I'm not prejudiced. And you stop listening. But division is our natural default. Just admit it. In fact, the second thing is this. Admit the presence of preconceptions and or prejudgments. And when we look at somebody from somewhere, if we've heard anything, experienced anything, had anything in our history, we just make some preconceptions and prejudgments, and it just continues to divide us up, doesn't it? It happens. But it's real. We got to admit that those are in our heart. And the third thing goes along with that. We need to exercise personal repentance and constant self-examination from a biblical perspective. In other words, we're not going to solve this at the end of the service today when I invite you down to let's all pray. Because the sun's going down today, and a new day is going to dawn tomorrow. And we live in this world every day. It is going to take you and I together on our knees in God's Word day by day, constantly living in a state of repentance and asking God to work in our hearts and renew our hearts so that we look and sound like Him instead of like the world for this to happen. That's why at the very beginning I told you guys, listen, what I want to talk about today, it's not going to happen. We just determine in our own hearts we're going to solve this issue. Humanly speaking, that's impossible. It's not going to happen. It is only by the work of our great God through the gospel in our hearts that will change the way we see one another, help one another, and love one another. And so every day we've got to exercise personal prayer. God, work in my heart. God, move in me. Listen, Melanie Henderson, and I don't know if she's here today, but she emailed me this week, was telling me that she had moved and her commute is longer, and so she's got bored with it after a little while, so she started listening to Scripture, and her mom started doing the same thing on her way. And she said, now our conversations involve Scripture. It never was like that before, but it just starts coming out of you when it's going into you. So day by day, you and I have got to spend time in God's Word, so we're hearing His voice. Remember, I told you, you read this book, you hear His voice. Stay in this book, because if you don't, you're not going to hear His voice, and you're going to give into the flesh. And those natural defaults are going to rise up. And those preconceptions and prejudgments are continue to be forefront in your life, leading you the wrong direction. And we're not going to look and sound like Jesus when we live out in the world. So here's the fourth thing. We need to follow Christ instead of culture. Listen, the church needs to be a leader in this work and not a follower. But I'm afraid that we spend way too much time listening to culture and what it has to say about these issues and then follow its path. Now, I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but the news media is not aiming at being accurate. It's aiming at being first. I want to break the story. I want to get the word out, even if the story's not accurate. Later, 3 weeks from now, we'll post a correction. Now the correction's gone. It's just about getting it out there, and it just creates more and more tension, doesn't it? You hear a story, some people react to the story, then other people react to the story, and then somebody else reacts to the story, and it's one thing after another, and builds and just creates more division in the body of Christ and in our communities because we're following culture instead of Christ. It's hugely important for you and I to shift that narrative as it's being played out in our life. That when something happens, we ask ourselves that simple question, how would Jesus handle this? What would Jesus say in response to this? How would Jesus act? Because we are Christians, followers of Christ, not followers of culture. And we've got to rise above the fray and make an impact in the world, and if we're going to do that, we have got to follow Christ instead of culture. Now, we have a brand new thing happening today. It's called social media. Yeah. And it's where a lot of people just give vent to those natural defaults of division and those preconceptions and prejudgments that we make, and it just spills out on the page. And all the world sees it. And we start a discussion, it's 5 miles long. I can tell you this, as long as it's been out, and I read, by the way, I'm friends with a lot of y'all on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and what other kind of connection things there are. And I just say, some of you forget that you're friends with me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and some of you, right now, it's like, Lord, what have I said? What have I posted? Hey, that's all right, listen. It's great. In fact, the best news for you if you're a parent is your kids have friended me, which is really good. So if I shoot you an email or drop you a text and say, hey, you might want to check this out, just do not tell your kids where that came from, okay? But what happens is, we don't look or sound like Jesus oftentimes on social media. And you say, well, it just eats at my soul when that happens, when somebody says that. That's one of our problems. We're too easily offended. And particularly in the black and white community, we're just too easily offended, aren't we? And when you get offended, you take up an offense, you know what happens? You stop listening. You stop listening. You don't hear anymore. How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand. Proudly. Okay. Now, I'm not asking for anybody to raise their hand at this point. You ever had one of those moments in your marriage where your spouse, your husband or your wife, says something or does something that offends you? I was trying to protect you. You just jumped right out there. It's going to be a long day. But we have had that. We all have had that, right? And they offend you, and they keep talking, and you're not listening anymore. You know what I'm saying? It happens, doesn't it? They just keep talking, and they just keep talking. They just keep talking, and you're just like, I'm not hearing you, okay? Because I've taken up an offense. Now, here's the good news. You live in the same house, so over time, and through the grace of God, with these two imperfect people that are now married and living in the same house, God heals those wounds, and the conversation continues, and somehow, and you get through it, right? But when we do that with one another on social media, and these and the relationships that we have, we just bump into somebody every other day, or we're working with them, and we don't have a conversation with them, and we take up an offense, and we stop listening to them, and we separate ourselves from them, there's no room for that healing to take place that needs to take place because the conversation has ended. And when we do that, we are acting like culture, not acting like Christ. And so, this leads me to the fifth thing. We need to intentionally connect with people of ethnic backgrounds in friendship and partnership in the gospel. I was really searching for what words to use because this is where it gets tough, doesn't it? Given our natural defaults, given our preconceptions and prejudging, when you say you've got to be intentional to connect with people of ethnic backgrounds in friendship and partnership in the gospel, that just gets really challenging. But it's what we've got to do. Now, I was listening to Tripp Lee. In fact, I listened to Asian pastors, Hispanic pastors, black pastors, other international pastors, white pastors on this whole subject. Listened to a lot of sermons and a lot of talks on this subject getting ready for today. And they're all helpful. Tripp Lee said something. He said, you know, my generation, he's a millennial, doesn't think that prejudice exists in their generation. And he said, they're wrong. Just as prejudice of the generation came before us. We bear the same burdens and same struggles. And one of the reasons they feel that way is they feel like because they go to a concert that's very diverse. So I'm not prejudiced. Well, good for you. You don't have to love somebody to go to a concert, do you? You're there for 2 hours, 3 hours, and you go home. We're talking not about diversity in a room. We're talking about unity in the body of Christ. It's much bigger than that. This is what one writer said. We will never acquire empathy and reconciliation on Facebook, social media, and other media because it requires presence and proximity. So don't think just because you listen to a talk on diversity. In fact, some people may go home today. I got it. I'm good because I listened to the message today. No. Or you post something and you say, well, I'm good. No, be intentional. Take the time in your life to engage someone that doesn't look like you, sound like you, come from where you came from. Not so much to tell them who you are, but find out who they are. And let them know who Jesus is. That's what the church needs to be. In fact, I'll just give you another little prayer to pray every day. I think this is something we really got to pray every day. And something that God put on my heart years ago. And it's part of my prayer time. And I don't pray it routinely. I honestly pray it because the flesh gets in the way. And our histories and past and other things get in the way and just scar us up so that we can't relate to one another. So I pray, God, give me your eyes so I will see people the way you see them. Help me do that today. Give me your hands so I'll help people the way you would help them. And then give me your heart so I'll love people the way you love them. And what we can't change on our own, the power of God through the work of the Holy Spirit can do in a moment with a surrendered heart. Listen, this world needs Jesus. I was thinking today about Rick. I remember when he came to Christ. And he told about Joel Martin. Joel Martin had two back surgeries this week. He told me in the hospital Thursday, I'm going to be there Sunday. And his wife said, you just had two back surgeries. You're not going to be in church on Sunday morning. Okay. But here's the cool part of that story. Rick's just walking through their neighborhood, exercising. And Rick is black. You didn't see Joel Martin, but he is white. As white as they come, okay? And he looked out of his window and saw Rick and said, "That's my neighbor. He needs Jesus, and I know Jesus. And I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and strength. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. And I'm going to go build a relationship and tell him about Jesus." And today, as a senior adult, Rick Dabney came to know Jesus, delivered from alcohol, and saved because Joel knew that Rick was black and he was white. But he was not going to let those differences be primary. And he wasn't going to let culture tell him what to do. Because he saw him through the eyes of Jesus. And he loved them to the Lord. We need more of that in our world, don't we? And we can do it because God lives in us. So this invitation today, maybe you're here today and God's been at work in your heart, and maybe God just stirring in your soul about knowing him. Maybe what you need is just need to hear Rick's testimony. Say, listen, I need to know Jesus. Our pastors are going to be here at the front in just a minute. And I invite you to come and just say, I need to know Christ. Maybe you're really burdened by this. Maybe it's bothered you the way you feel. You may just want to come and pray. Or maybe you've got some tensions in relationships that shouldn't be there and you don't know what to do about them. You just want to put them before the altar and say, God, you work. Work in them, work in me. Or maybe you just want to start today what we need to do every day and praying for our own hearts that we would have God's eyes, God's hands, and God's heart. Whatever the case, let's follow him. Let Jesus be Jesus in our hearts.